Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, Sankara Yoga, text number 6. Oh, this even have a different title. Instead of Dhyana Yoga, it's Sankhya Yoga. Vandoratmatmanastasya Enatmayavatmanajita Anatmanasu Shatrutve Vartetatmaiva Shatrutvat Bandhu, friend. Atma, mind. Atmana, of the living entity. Tasya, of him. Yena, by whom. Atma, mind. Eva, certainly. Atmana, by the living entity. Jitaha, conquered. Atmanaha, of one who has failed to control the mind. Tu, but. Shatrudve, because of enmity. Varteta, remains. Atma eva, the very mind. Shvatrudvat, as an enemy. Translation. For one who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his very mind will be the greatest enemy. Purport. The purpose of practicing Eightfold Yoga is to control the mind in order to make it a friend in discharging the human mission. Unless the mind is controlled, the practice of yoga, show, is simply a waste of time. One who cannot control his mind lives always with the greatest enemy, and thus his life and his mission are spoiled. The constitutional position of the living entity is to carry out the order of the superior. As long as one's mind remains an unconquered enemy, one has to serve the dictations of lust, anger, avarice, illusion, etc. But when the mind is conquered, one voluntarily agrees to abide by the dictation of the personality of Godhead, who is situated within the heart of everyone as Paramatma. Real yoga and practice entails meeting the Paramatma within the heart and then following his dictation. One who takes to Krishna consciousness directly, perfect surrender to the dictation of the Lord follows automatically. Bandoratmatmanastasya yenat mai vatmana jita anatmanasu shatrudve vartetatamaiva shatrudvat. For one who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will be the greatest enemy. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Dhanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeva Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Satarane. Now the question is, how does one conquer the mind? According to the Brahma's prayer, then he said the first thing to do is put speculation far aside. Yane priyasam udapasta namanta eva. So, yane, one should, so-called knowledge, everyone in the material world believes they know many things. And indeed, in the material sphere, there are many things to know. Matter of fact, there are unlimited things to know. And according to Pariksha Maharaj, Pariksha Maharaj was sitting on the bank of the Ganges, cursed to die in 7 days, and he was asking the sages, what should I do? And they spent a lot of time giving him knowledge about karma yoga, which was not probably a good thing to start practicing. You have 7 days left to live. And then they got to, some of them were talking about Jnana Yoga. And someone offered him a 6-day yoga course for pranayama and everything included. Then, fortunately, Shukadeva Goswami came along, and Pariksit Maharaj asked the question that what is the duty of a person who's about to die? What should he hear about? What he should chant about? What he should remember? Now, most people, if you ask that question to if you go to a university and you raise your hand in a class about what the, you know, motivational class, and you ask the teacher, dear teacher, you're talking about what we should do for motivation, but can you tell me what is the duty of a person who's about to die? Now, considering the general atmosphere in today's world, probably everyone would start ducking underneath their desk, thinking that maybe you're a suicide bomber or something, or a terrorist. But that question would not be very much appreciated. What is the duty of a person who's about to die? This is not the type of question people want to think about. And even if you go to the most learned professor at a university, and even if they was thinking about it, they wouldn't even know what the answer was. But Shukadeva Goswami said, Varyan eshete prashna krito lakita ripaha atmavan tamasam punsam shrota yadishu yakparaha. That this question is glorious. Varyan esha te prashna krita loka itaripaha. It is valuable for everyone, both the hearer, both the person who hears, who asks the question, the person who gives the answer, and for everyone else who's listening. And then Shukadeva Goswami says that most people don't ask such questions. Shotavyadishu Rajendra Srinam Shanti Sahasrashaha Apashyatam Atmatadvam Griheshu Grihamedinam. In human society, people have hundreds and thousands of questions. Shotavyadishu Rajendra Srinam Shanti Sahasrashaha, hundreds and thousands. Apashyatam, being blind to the purpose of life. Pashyatam atmatadvam, having no idea about the soul, griheshu grihamedinam. There are questions and answers all about keeping oneself within the material sphere of material experience, called griha, within the house of material existence. And what is that material existence? It's Divya Charteya, see, at night. So at night, there's that Divya Charteya Rara Janka Tumbo Paranena Va. So at night, what's the word for night? Nisha Nidra Nidraya Nriyate Naktam Vavayana Chavavaya Divya Charitehe Yarajan Katumba Bharanenava. So, what are the topics? We have so many magazines. We have so much internet. If you can go on and find out about the coronavirus, and there's probably hundreds of websites telling completely the opposite what every other website is saying. Coronavirus Kata. You can probably, at the end of this pandemic, you probably get your PhD in coronavirus, kata. There are hundreds and thousands of topics all about nidriya, sleeping. You can go and become an expert, probably get a job, which is the best mattress to sleep on. In detail, you can explain exactly how a mattress is made. They have mattresses with like 10 different layers. And probably if you put a pea under the first layer, you could actually feel it. And nidriya riyate naktam. So at night people are asleep. If they have fortune enough, if they don't have to take a pill to go to sleep, then a pill to wake up, and then another pill to counteract the other two pills they just took. So one is considered to be quite advanced materially if he can sleep at night. He's expert. And indeed, there are courses at universities how to sleep. You can go online and you can pay a lot of money to get a course how to sleep. Of course, the devotees know how to sleep, especially in class. When they hear the philosophy, they become relieved of all anxiety and tensions. As I said, I was distributing in Chicago Airport. One devotee went up to someone, and the person said, "Sorry, I'd love to get your book, but I can't read anymore because I can't sleep, so I can't concentrate on anything." So the devotee said, "No worries, just take this book. We have a class every day, and there's 30, 40 people in the class, and as soon as we start reading from this book, everyone falls asleep." So the man bought the book. He was sitting in O'Hara Airport trying to read it and fell asleep. So, nidriya riyate nakta, vavavayena, sex life. That's the main internet. The reason why the internet exists and people worry about the internet is because there's endless variety of sex life on the internet. You can find out how grasshoppers, you know, fall in love with each other. Everything is there, whatever you want. And divya charite hararajan. But it costs money. All this sleeping and eating, it all costs money. So you have to get a job. So during the day they're working. And the wife has a credit card and she's spending more than he's working, he's earning. So he has to come back many, many lifetimes just to pay off the credit card. But, you know, you make the money and I spend it. Divya charite hararaja katumba baraneva. So earning money and spending it. And this is all what the whole subject matter is about. During this crisis, the head of Amazon made an extra $34 billion. Now he feels more secure. Before he only had $100 billion, now he has an extra 34. Now he's assured he's going to get two pieces of toast to eat tomorrow. Because people are just spending their time shopping. They have nothing else to do. And what is this whole thing about? All this eating, sleeping, mating, defending? Deha kalatrata, deha patya kalatradishu, atma sanyeshva satsupi, tesham pramato nidanam, pashanapina pashati. It's all just to survive. If we wake up in the morning, we feel ourselves fortunate. I'm here to live another day, so I can eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Oh Lord, please don't let me leave on Sunday when we're the best prashanamas there. And the other day of the week is all right, but not Sunday. Deha kalatra. Deha patya. So my wife, my children, my dog, everything. They're all my soldiers, protect me from dying. Although everyone is dying, because no one has ever been successful in stopping, but all this attempt, the whole material world is existing, trying to get free from death. And everyone's a failure. So, in other words, everyone is wasting their time in material life, trying to enjoy, trying to be secure, and everyone's suffering, and everyone's insecure. Tasmat bharata sarvatma, bhagavan ishvaro hari, shrotavyas kirtitavyas cha, smartavyakchehatavaya. Therefore, the solution given by Shukadeva Goswami is that one should hear about, one should chant about, one should remember Krishna. So that's our choice. Conquering the mind means to hear about Krishna, to remember Krishna, to understand Krishna, to think about Krishna, to serve Krishna. That's conquering the mind. And everything else is, we will come under the sway of lust, anger, greed, envy, delusion, and madness. So that's when we don't conquer the mind. And when we don't conquer the mind, then the mind will drag us down. And after it drags us down for some time, and we don't feel good about being dragged down, then we try to go a little up. So 10 steps down and a half a step up. Then another 10 steps down, another half step up. And we just get used to being dragged down by the illusory entity, and we think we're making progress. Matter of fact, the whole society is becoming more and more lusty, angry, and greedy, more and more in delusion, more and more madness, and they think they're making progress. So, one has to find out what real progress is. That's why we study, so just these books, to become convinced that actually we should fix our minds upon Krishna. We should think of Krishna, we should hear about him, we should chant about him, we should remember him, and we should serve him. And of course the other thing is how to do it is also explained. And here it says that that's our choice. Either conquer the mind, gyane priyasam, putting aside our mental speculation, all our tendency for other topics, namandeva, and try to become submissive. Because everyone is puffed up, thinking themselves to be quite learned, that we know so much, and therefore we don't want to hear from anyone. Jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya varta. But one should live life in order to hear from the self-realized souls. Stane stita. There's no need to change anything material, our position, our present occupations, our present ashrams. Stane stita shrutigatam vanumangno vira. What is necessary, though, is to hear about Krishna and then with our body, mind, and words, put into action what we've heard, apply what we've heard. And what is the purpose? Ye priyasa jita jitos taistri lokyam. Jita jityaisisi taistri lokyam. That one can conquer Krishna. And how do we know if we conquer Krishna? Then we remember Krishna. Krishna kindly comes, and although we may not understand that Krishna is there, but Krishna knows he's there. And he only reveals himself to those he's conquered by, at least in devotion. He reveals himself devotionally. So that's conquering our conquer. Like we have to conquer in the mind means conquering Krishna, actually. As Bhagavan Mangala Thakur said, you may try to get away from me, Krishna. Bhila Mangala Thakura, who was living, I believe, 800 years in Vrindavan, and he was blind. And every day, Krishna would come and bring him some milk. So one day he grabbed Krishna and he said, you know, who are you? So Krishna said, let me go, you know, my mother will be very disturbed if I don't get back. He said, I know who you are. You're that cowherd boy. And then Vila Mangala Thakur, I believe, he said, you may get away from me, but you can't get out of the core of my heart. I've captured you in my core. So that's what we're trying to do, is capture Krishna in the core of our heart. Jita, jita. And that's the only way we can actually conquer our mind. Unless Krishna is in the core of our mind, our mind will go all over the universe looking for some happiness, And when we conquer Krishna and find real happiness, then it doesn't want to go anywhere else eventually. That's called conquering the mind. Okay, thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. You mentioned Krishna revealing himself when he is conquered or pleased. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Gudrama Kalpatavi says that we can meet Krishna in the holy name on the stage. We can buy the pure holy name with the price of Shraddha, Shraddha Bhakti Shraddha. And for Nishta, we can buy Rupa Yuktanam, where we can understand when the form is revealed. Could you please say something about what does it mean that at Nishta Krishna we can obtain the name that's already revealing the form of the Lord? Because normally we think that the form of the Lord will be revealed at Bhava, or some spurti will be oftentimes a little later. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says already at Nishta you get Rupa Yuktanama.
Yeah. Is that in the Harinam Chintamani?
Gudruma Kalpatavi.
It's also in the Harinam Chintamani. Maybe. It's in some little book I read. He has the gold and lead and silver or whatever. And Chintamani and like that. So, well, it means that when you chant Hare Krishna, you remember Krishna's form. It's not so amazing. Of course, the intensity of remembering Krishna's form, just like we can chant Hare Krishna, that's the first stage. Between the beginning of Shraddha to Nishta, then our advancement towards Nishta actually depends upon the purification of learning gradually to become more conscious of Krishna's name, which means we begin to feel Krishna's presence in his name. And at the stage when we can actually feel Krishna's presence in his name simultaneously, along with that, gradually, one spontaneously remembers Krishna's forms. Now, that feeling may not be very intense, but of course, any time you remember Krishna, then there's a whole different change of consciousness, whether we're conscious of it or not. So at this stage of Nishta, then one is, more or less, whenever he chants Hare Krishna at least, then he remembers spontaneously, along with the name, he remembers Krishna's forms, some form of Krishna, or something in relationship to Krishna. Now, as you advance towards Ruchi, then one can actually taste, along with the name, then you can feel Krishna's presence, and you remember the form, but then you also start to actually taste Krishna within and Krishna without, because there's nothing but Krishna. His energy. So there's a taste, not only with all the senses become to a certain extent enlivened, so one can see things spiritually, one can taste things spiritually, one can smell things spiritually. So there's a taste for all our senses, have a spiritual taste. And then at the stage of asakti, then that taste increases, and one becomes addicted to the taste. It becomes so intense, one cannot live without it. And at the stage of bhava, then, along with chanting the holy name, there is the feeling, one's original feeling, or a natural feeling, so it's Krishna awakened. So the form is not the beginning. I mean, it's quite advanced to be in the state, for us, at least for me, to be at the stage of Nishta. When you chant Hare Krishna, you spontaneously remember Krishna's forms. Well, of course, there's a certain degree, just like when you put the iron in the fire, or the closer you get to the fire, the more warmth there is. So between the stages from anartha nivritti, because anyone who chants Hare Krishna in the disciples' succession with the proper knowledge who's not chanting it in Mayavadi philosophy, according to Mayavadi philosophy, will get an experience. If you keep on chanting enough rounds, you start noticing our minds get more under control after some time. Hopefully, one not sitting meditating on the objects of the senses, when one is chanting, when one is trying at least, then after some time the mind becomes subdued and one can actually feel oneself more Krishna conscious at least, more in the mode of goodness at least. But that goes all the way up, of course there's no clear delineation between any of the stages, but all the way up to Nishta, where one just normally is seeing everything in relation to Krishna. Every time he looks at anything, then he remembers Krishna at least. He sees things in relation to Krishna. And there's some feeling of Krishna's presence more than at any other stage of the chanting. Yes.
You spoke about conquering the mind is like conquering Krishna. So sometimes, where, I don't know, maybe after marathon, Prabhupada's marathon, there is a lot of mercy attainable, or how to say. So after it, it's like Krishna is more present. Krishna's mercy is more present. But I feel like Krishna being so close, it's like a lot of responsibility and like lifting up too much weight to live like that every day. So what to do?
What to do? You're saying that on the marathon you get closer to Krishna. Is that right?
Yeah.
So just stay on the marathon.
It's quite intense to stay in a marathon.
I'll take a day off every once in a couple of these things will... The thing is, when you're in bliss and you're absorbed in Krishna consciousness, you don't mind being in. It's no problem. It's not a big deal because there's no cares or worries. It's when we stop that all the cares and worries go on. And stop we will after you go out. You know, it depends how the marathon means, generally speaking, you stay on the fire longer than you normally would. And even though you go back from the marathon and you go to sleep and you get back into your, quote, normal consciousness, when you go out after some time, you're not as in anxiety and not so bewildered as you were at the beginning of the marathon. So you start realizing, well, I'm really getting to the swing of things. But then, you know, by the end of the marathon, you're probably tired and, you know, you're really feeling that I'm liberated. I got what I wanted. I'm not in so much in distress anymore. So let me get back to my normal life. Maybe I'll enjoy it more than I did before. And then after some time I was thinking, wow, I'm not enjoying, I'm actually suffering. All the time I wanted off is just time I'm wasting. So then one thing is, well, maybe I should go back in the marathon. So anyhow, after some time, it's called Anishtita Bhajana Kriya, unsteady devotional service, which has six subdivisions according to Madhurya Kandambini. So we generally, when we're at the stage of Anishtita Bhajana Kriya, we fall into one of those six categories. So we shouldn't be overly depressed or anxious or whatever else. We're just following the normal process of advancing in devotional service, of which being in Maya is part of it, at least sometime. So we should try to go on the marathons when there is, and try to perform normal devotional service when there's not a marathon, but do it in Krishna consciousness too. Because it's not when you get older, when you're 90 years old, you're going to go out 8 hours a day with a book bag, unless someone's going to carry you out there. So we have to practice also to live so-called normal life in Krishna consciousness besides only on the marathons. So that's an opportunity. We're not distributing books also to try to intensify our devotional service in so-called normal devotional service. Ambarish Maharaj, Savaimana Krishna Badara Vindeo, Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunan Vardhane. He first of all fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, and he glorified the Lord of Vaikuntha, and he utilized all his senses. It doesn't say he went on any book marathons, but he learned the art of devotional service. He was always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, today is appearance day of Sri Gadadhar Pandit. We have a few minutes until the close up. Could you say something about his role? His role in.
I could say something. I haven't realized anything. But he's.
Both. You can do both.
Okay. He's an expansion of Srimati Radharani. So he's the part of the Ladini Shakti. And he's the dearmost devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was worshipping Toda Gopinath. And as he made a vow, he was staying and worship Toda Gopinath and never leave. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Jagannath Puri, he went with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he couldn't bear the separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't bear that he had given up his vow to Toda Gopinath. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Gadadhar Pandit, and Gadadhar Pandit fainted from separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then they took him back. So Gadadhar Pandit was especially, he was known to be, although they say he was in the mood of Srimati Radharani, his expansion, but it seems like Radharani is in, for technical reasons, she's more on the left-hand side of the gopis, that kind of in the middle actually, but she's more on the left-hand side. She's not always submissive to Krishna. And although she has a tendency sometimes, but Lalita Devi doesn't allow her to be submissive to Krishna generally, because it's spoiled the relationship. If, just like even in the material world, if a lady is too easy to get, then the man takes her for granted. But if the lady plays hard to get, then the man chases her and gets its more serious relationship. So similarly, Lalita always advises Srimati Radharani never be submissive to Krishna. The guy's a rascal, so. If you're submissive, he'll take advantage of you. So she plays that role, although she does have her submissive feelings. Therefore, she's not quite, only a left-wing gopi. But Gadadhar Pandit was more on the right-hand side. He was always submissive. So I guess that, do you understand exactly how that energy, how that, he was always submissive, but he was an expansion of Srimati Radharani.
I understand that Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Krishna stole her rebellious mood, and he appeared as Gauranga.
But why Gadadhar Pandit was an expansion of Srimati Radharani?
This is Srimati Radharani, but her rebellious mood was stolen by Krishna, who came as Gauranga, so that's why Radharani came without that haughtiness.
Okay. So Gadadhar Pandit was he became the spiritual, there is Balabhacharya. Balabhacharya wanted to prove his greatness before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. But the devotees understood that he wasn't a qualified person because he was quite proud. He was a very learned scholar, probably one of the most learned scholars in Vaishnavism at the time, but he had a little bit of pride about it. So he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one time and he said, I've written a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it surpasses the commentary about by Sridhar Swami. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's comment was that anyone who doesn't respect the Swami, which in Bengali also means the husband, or I guess in Sanskrit means the husband. It's called the husband. The ladies usually call their husband Swami. So anyone who doesn't respect the Swami, I consider to be a prostitute. So that was quite an insult. I mean, we don't understand the culture that it wasn't, you know, to call someone a mudha, people would just, you know, they'd probably give up their lives. They were called a mudha. To be called a prostitute was quite, you know, a serious, well, I wouldn't say it was a serious demeaning of the person. So he was trying to get everyone to hear his commentary, and no one would listen to it. But he went to Gadadhar Pandit, who was quite submissive and gentle, and he started to read his commentary. And Gadadhar Pandit was really in a fix, that everyone wanted to avoid Vallabhacharya hearing his commentary because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to listen to it. So it would be considered quite offensive to do something that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected, that you're accepting it. So Gadadhar, and at the same time, Gadadhar Pandit felt that this man, this devotee, is a greatly learned scholar, an advanced devotee. It would be offensive not to listen to it. At the same time, if I listened to it, I might be displeasing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And especially, he may not be displeased, but his devotees will start criticizing me. And anyhow, that's what happened. He was forced to hear the message of the writings of Vallabhacharya. And indeed, out of loving feelings, the devotees started to criticize Gadadhar Pandit, which is hard to think about. Very elevated. Lovingly, they were criticizing him. But later on, of course, Vallabhacharya, although he came into the association of the devotees, and many times he committed offenses, saying that, you know, I know I've written a commentary in the holy names, and we'd like to hear it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I only know two names for Krishna. He said, I know the Shyama Sundara, and what is that, Jasoda Nandana? He said, that's the only thing I know. So Vallabhacharya was like, really, I don't know the proper English word, he was getting really disturbed. Insulted, practically speaking. And he was thinking that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very kind to me at one time, and now he's become very, you know, he's neglecting me. He's actually become quite critical. Then he started to think about it, and he thought that actually, I've been very proud. Just like Indra was proud, and Krishna cut down his pride by lifting Govardhan Hill. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually being merciful to me and cutting my pride down. So then he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and surrendered to him. And then he asked permission to take initiation from Gadadhar Pandit, which Gadadhar Pandit did, gave him initiation. So Gadadhar Pandit, as different pastime, I guess the other pastime, was Gadadhar Pandit, who was involved in when, what was the name of Krishna's father in Chaitanya Krishna, was that? Yeah, Pundarik Vidyanita. I guess Gadadhar Pandit was involved in that also. That there was a, who was Mukunda, I guess he took Gadadhar Pandit to see Pundarik Vidyanita, saying that he was a great devotee. And when he went there, he saw Pundarik Vidyanita, who was very opulent, sitting on a silken bed, wearing silk, and smoking from a hookah. And he was thinking, this is a great devotee. This doesn't seem like he's exactly detached from sense enjoyment. So he became a little bewildered. And then Mukunda started to sing these songs about how Putana was actually a witch, and she came to poison Krishna, but Krishna is so kind that he sucked her breast and gave her love of God and sent her, she became one of the mothers in Krishna Loka. So who could be more kind than such a personality? Someone came to kill him and he gave him pure love of God. So when Pundarik Vidyaniti heard this, then he fell off the bed and started to roll on the ground in ecstasy, on the floor in ecstasy, smashing his bed and the hookah and everything else. So then Gadadharpanda became quite impressed that this is, you know, obviously quite an advanced devotee. I'm not rolling on the ground. So later on, Pundarik Gadadharpanda, realizing that I believe he took initiation from Pundarik Vidyaniti. You know any other pastimes? Anyone else that know any pastimes of Gadadhara Pandit? Yes. Go ahead. Go for it. How much time do we have?
So Lord Chaitanya left this world by entering the deity of Tota Gopinath in Jagannath Puri. He started digging in a garden, which in Odia language is called Tota, and he found the deity of Krishna, whom he called Gopinath. So Tota Gopinath, and he gave him to Gadadhar Pandit to worship. And Lord Chaitanya left this world by entering this deity of Tota Gopinath. And after he left, Gadadhar Pandit couldn't really stand the separation from Lord Chaitanya. So he stopped eating, he stopped drinking, he stopped sleeping. He could hardly do any service. And when he would lift his arms, he wouldn't be able to lift them to put garland around the neck of Gopinath. So Gopinath would bend down. Gopinath didn't sit, as many devotees claim he did. He sat for some devotee later, but he would bend down so Gadadhar could put a garland around his neck. So it hardly a year passed after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya when Gadadhar Pandit left exactly the same way by entering the deity of Tota Gopinath. And on the disappearance day of Gadadhar Pandit, which is also disappearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, amazingly enough, the deity of Tota Gopinath is dressed in a six-arm form, Shatbhuja Gopinath.
Okay, thank you. Has anyone seen the deity of Tota Gopinath? Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, why should one worship Gorkhadadar deities? Well, I mean, if you know, in what mood are they worshipped as?
Our worship is that in awe and reverence. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is worshipped in awe and reverence. Because we're not, as long as one is on the material platform, we worship Krishna in the service attitude. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us the service of spreading Krishna consciousness. Exactly, Prabhupada never installed Gorgadadhara in any of our temples. Exactly what the purpose of Gorgadadhara is in other temples, I'm not 100% sure. We generally worship either Gauranitai or Panchatattva because we're engaged in serving their mission. Radha Krishna, even Radha Krishna we don't worship. Radha Krishna can only be worshipped in spontaneous love. But we worship in the opulence of Vaikuntha as Lakshmi Narayan. And only when one actually advances to Raganuga Bhakti, then there's some entrance into that mood. But only at the stage of really bhava can one actually worship Radha and Krishna in the proper mood. And similarly, I don't know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Ramananda Roy met him, and after some time, then Ramananda Roy said that, "I actually see within you, I see Radha and Krishna." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed Radha and Krishna. So his worship of Radha and Krishna was not in reverence, or in reverence, nor was Gadadhara Pandit. It was in a different mood. But those who are worshipping Gadadhara, I'm not really so sure what their mood is. Gadadhara Pandit may have been in the mood of Madhurya Rasa with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but we don't have access to that. Do you know anything about that? Okay. All right, thank you very much. Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai. Radha Pandit, Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.